Deuteronomy chapter 14. You forgot where we were. It's been so long. It's actually been three Wednesdays that I haven't been teaching because the Wednesday before I left, I didn't teach, just getting ready for the trip and the conferences and things. And, you know, I heard Mike drop the ball. I mean, I heard First John was exciting and wonderful, and then you didn't get to finish it. So, I don't know, should we do it tonight? No. But, boy, Mike owes us, doesn't he? Where'd you leave off, Mike? You don't remember? Okay, chapter 4. Well, First John's an awesome book, so... But we are in Deuteronomy, and lest we don't finish that, we better get into it. You know, Deuteronomy 14, again, covering here this section of the Pentateuch coming to the end. Deuteronomy is an exciting book, no doubt about it. Had been having a real blessed time studying through it. And again, I think I shared this before, but I was really thinking of not even teaching it and doing some New Testament book, but Lord just spoke to me, teach the book of Deuteronomy, just keep going. And so blessed, maybe it was just for me, so blessed that I did. But, you know, God, He's speaking to that generation, the kids of the parents that came out there of Egypt, and certainly the kids were a part of that, but kids at that time. And, you know, really exciting because they're about to go in. It's like finally all the promises. I mean, you got to go way back to Abraham when God made these promises that you're going to go into this promised land. So for generation after generation after generation, they've been hearing about the promised land. Well, you know, it's like it kind of gets old, you know, if you never get to see it, you never get to experience it. And, you know, this great promises God has, and they're right at the cusp of God fulfilling that and seeing that. And it's certainly exciting. But God here in Deuteronomy, he's taking this opportunity to recount the law to them, because they're going to be the ones going in. They're the ones leading. And so he's recounting. And part of what we're going to look at tonight here in this law is really God saying, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. And I love that because, you know, God does that to us. You know, sometimes we wonder, and as we get into it here, you know, it's like, why can't they eat that? Why do they got to eat those things? What's wrong with bacon, you know? What's wrong with, you know, having some, you know, beef and milk together? I mean, what's the big deal? Why? I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes I just say, why, Lord? I see it, I understand it, but I don't get it. I mean, what's the purpose? You know, and the things about God are sometimes a mystery. We don't always know why. But I know this, that God knows why. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And the beautiful thing here is what God is doing, I believe, in the dietary laws and the tithing laws, and even dealing with money and debts and the way they're to work with those that are needy and poor and even the fatherless and the widows, that God is saying, my people are going to be different than all the other peoples of the world. You know, and there's something special in that. There's something beautiful in that. And I just want to start off by reading to us out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll just read it. You don't need to turn there. Most of you probably know it. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through the end. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. This is a quote from Leviticus, from the Pentateuch. I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What God is so clear here, he's just saying, listen, you're different. I don't want you to be yoked together with the world. I don't want you to look like the world. Do you feel like that? Sometimes you feel different. You feel like you just don't fit. Good. That's a great sign. You know, if you feel real comfortable in the world and you feel like this is the place you flourish and this is where you fit and you disagree with everything that everyone at maybe your job or school or, you know, home or whatever it is that are unbelievers that they like, they agree with, you know, whether it's, you know, likes and desires, hobbies, politics, whatever it might be. If you just fit perfectly, there's something wrong. For God has called us to be different. And God has called us as His special treasure above all people. And therefore, God has given you and me specific revelation. His Word. His Word. And that's why we're going through His Word. And some might say, you know, why do we need to go through Deuteronomy? Yeah, let's do something in the New Testament. Are we under the dietary laws? No, not necessarily. Are we under these rules and regulations? No, but man, there are some radical principles of God that are here for us. And there is so much to glean. And listen, God has spoken this for a reason. And God has called you and me as His special people. He's called us to be different. Come out, be separate. That's what He's doing here to the Israelites. He's making sure this next generation knows that. Listen to what He says here in chapter 14, Deuteronomy, verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. That's how He starts it. You're different. You are God's kids. I love how John says it in 1 John chapter 3 there. Behold, what love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. You know, there is this idea out in the world that we are all children of God. It's not true. It's not biblical. It's not from the Bible. It's just, you know, that's a nice thing. That's a nice thing for people to think about. We're all children of God and we're all going to a good place when we die. Not true. We aren't all children of God. We were children of wrath, Paul tells us in the New Testament, before we came and were born again. We're children of God. And so even more, if you would, that God speaks here to these in the old covenant, us in the new. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we be called children of God. And so, as we look at some things that we might not quite understand, let us remember that God is simply separating. That's what He's doing. He's separating His people from all the other peoples. Now, there's many different peoples, many different religions, many different traditions, many different ethnicities, many different languages. There's all kinds of different nations, and they all have great similarities, even in their worship. But my people, they're going to be totally different. And my people aren't going to look like the world. My people are going to look like what I want them to look like. They're going to worship me because I'm a totally different God than all the you know, lowercase g gods of the world. I'm Almighty God. And, you know, they worship me by grace, not by works, as every other religion does. And I'm a personal God. And I have a personal covenant with you. And so He says here, He says, you shall not. So He starts with, hey, as my children, this is what you shall not do. You shall not cut yourself nor shave the front of your heads for the dead. When it comes to mourning for the dead, when it comes to people dying in your midst, You shall not act like the Canaanites. This was the pagan tradition of the time. Now, you think about it, it's very, you know, demented. Here he says, you shall not cut yourself. And you and I just reading this says, why? Why does he say that? Well, that's because they would, at the mourning of the dead, they would actually inflict wounds to themselves. They had actually cut themselves. Do you realize that the cutting of the human body is a very demonic thing? It was always and always has been and always will be. It just really born of the enemy. Remember the man of the tombs, demon-possessed, says slashing himself? This is something that they did for the dead. This is something that they did. And why? Because Satan loves to destroy. You see, the difference between the peoples of the world and God's people is the peoples of the world have a father. Jesus said it, John chapter 8. He said, your father is the devil. And he's the father of lies and the father of deception. I mean, the very name Satan means liar, slanderer, false. It's what it speaks of. And, he is a deceiver. That's what he did in the garden. That's what he does. You know, and there's this epidemic today of young kids cutting themselves. I mean, there in England, Drew and his wife Tammy, who went and planted a church there in Newcastle, England, so many years ago, and they have dealt with this over and over and over again of these kids that would cut themselves, and we have it in our country as well. And it's, you know, you just think, why? Because the enemy's a liar, because they're inflicting pain, and they're inflicting pain to themselves to try to cover up some other pain. It's no different than, you know, doing drugs or, you know, getting drunk or whatever it might be. But know this, it's demonic. That must be known. And so this was a custom of the Canaanites that they did. Then he says, nor shaving the front of their heads. Now, again, this is, again, a sign of when someone would die. This is what they would do. And there was certainly some, you know, like if you would, magic or, you know, sorcery kind of things that they did in this, trying to contact the dead, those kinds of things. Listen, any of those things are very, very dangerous. And you know, anything that, you know, is involving, you know, contacting the dead and this kind of stuff, just stay away from it. I can tell you guaranteed it's not of the Lord. It is, the Bible calls it sorcery. You know, there's these shows and, you know, where these guys are contacting the dead and speaking. And it looks all nice and innocent. And you talk to your, you know, relative that has passed on and they tell you some mess, I love you or whatever. And it doesn't look like it's demonic. But let me tell you, it is demonic and it's not of God. What are we to do when we are to mourn for the dead? We are to mourn with hope. That's what Paul tells us. He says, we don't need to sorrow as others who have no hope. Obviously, those of us that have loved ones that have died, that are believers, there's great hope. There's great hope. But again, this life isn't it. But see, that's what much of religion today is. It's all about here and now. Jesus said, listen, you lose your life here. You give up your life. You die to yourself and that you might find life. It's totally different. It's being separated. And so that's what we see here. And he says in verse 2, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself. I love that. I always am struck by himself. It's just like God says, come to me. Like, you're mine. I love that picture there. He says, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Every single nation, the word peoples there, it's the word where we get ethnicity, people group. All the peoples on the face of the earth, God has chosen you. Now, here's one of those things that's a mystery. The selection, the election of people by God. And you know, here we are tonight, and I'm going to assume we're all believers here tonight. And if you are a believer, you know you're a believer. It's not like, I think maybe, if you're thinking maybe you're a believer, then you're probably not a believer, and you know you can call on the name of the Lord and He'll save you by His grace tonight. You can turn to Him and find relationship. But here we are, we're believers tonight. Listen, instead of me trying to figure out how God elects, why God elects, so the Bible tells us why, because of His grace, just know this, He chose you. Now, I don't know that it was the best choice. But let me just say, He didn't choose you with limited knowledge. You see, if I go buy a used car, it's a risk, you know, because I don't know it. And what typically I do is I'd look over the car with the limited knowledge I have about cars, but I have a little bit. I'd look over it and, you know, it looks good. Then I would take it to my mechanic just to get a deeper look. But, you know, he can't rip the whole engine apart and tell me, you know, how the valves look. You know, so he's going to give his guesstimation of it seems to be good. It's a total risk. And, you know, there's no warranty. There's no guarantee. I buy the car and it blows a rod, you know, and 3 months later. Bad choice. And if I would have known this car would have blown a rod, I would have never have chosen it. I would never have purchased it and realized Christ purchased you. Never would have done it. But check this out. God, He knows you all together. I mean, He knows. I was sharing with my kids this morning. You know, there's one thing God can't do, and they're all ears and eyes. You know, like, what? Did you say can't? But God can do anything, Dad. God. And one of my kids said, how big is God? You know, I never really answered the question. You know, he's just like, wait a second. And I said, God can't learn. Did you know that? God is the only one that can't learn. We were prepping for school and teaching them that you need to learn. And we've got a lot to learn. And we need to use our minds in that whole thing. But God, He can't learn. And therefore, what God says to us in His Word is what we want to listen to, because He knows, hey, He's the only one that's got it all together. God can't learn anything about you. This is deep. This is heavy. So He knows your beginning to your end and everything in between. And He said, and I want you. Now, if that doesn't encourage you tonight, I don't know what will. But He picked me. He picked you in all our flaws and failures. And now, let's just take it out of me for a second, or you. And let's just look at these guys He picked here. I mean, these guys are going to blow it over and over and over and over and over. You know, when we get to Judges, you're just going to get tired. Okay, they walk with God, God blesses them. They don't walk with God, God brings the enemies in, they attack them, they're oppressed, they're, you know, and oh, it's a cycle. And then, okay, then they repent. Oh, God blesses them again, and oh, they, you know, and it's just this pattern. And then you go through the entirety of the Old Testament, and you get to the, you know, captivity years, and you know, bad stuff's happened. I mean, brutal stuff's, and God says it. Even here in the Pentateuch, He says it's all going to happen, and it comes to pass because they simply won't obey. But check this out. But God never disowns them. But God loves them, and God knew all that about them, and He still chose them, and they blasphemed His name, and they brought shame to His name, and He still chose them in that state. For me ever to say, God doesn't love me, is crazy. God loves you. God loves me so tremendously. And be encouraged tonight. He knows us. And therefore, when I find myself in a place of failure, a place of sin, I need to rely on His love. And I need to remember, I'm a special treasure to the Lord. I don't feel special. I certainly don't feel like a treasure. But He said it. And he acted upon it. And He chose me. And in choosing me, He had to give up His own blood. He paid that ransom price. For you were not redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. and we're His. And above all peoples. And I don't understand that, but I'm just going to say thank you. I don't know about you, but I'm just, thank you, Lord. I'll take it.
And so that's how He kind of preps what He's about to say to them. That's who you are. And then He says, you shall not eat any detestable thing. Now, if you remember Leviticus chapter 11, He describes all these things. So we're not going to go in depth here. He's giving them their food dietary laws. This is what, again, and I believe this is because they're separate. They're separate. You're going to look different than the Canaanites, than all of these people that you're going to go in amongst and the surrounding nations around you. You're going to be different. These are the animals which you may eat. The ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the raw deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, the mountain sheep. And you may eat every animal with cloven hooves and having hooves split in two parts and that chew the cud among the animals. Nevertheless, of those who chew the cud and have cloven hooves, you shall not eat such as these, the camel, the hare, the rox, hyrax, for they chew the cud, but they do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean to you. Also, the swine is unclean to you because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses. So here again, just simply, we ask the question, why? There's been books even written on these dietary laws kept the children of Israel healthy. It's very possible that's true. I believe the main reason is because it kept them separate. It just made them different. When you were amongst the children of Israel, wow, you guys don't eat that? Why? Because Yahweh says. It's just our God leads us and guides us. And He's very specific with us and He gives us these things. And it's, I don't believe it was this heavy burden and bummer. Man, I want, swine. This ain't fair. Man, I'm smelling the bacon from, the Philistine camp. I don't think it was that way. It was, we're different. We worship Yahweh, Almighty God. He's given us these things to follow. And, we ought to look at God's commandments that way. Since Mike didn't get to 1 John 5, it says in 1 John 5 that God's commandments are not burdensome. They're not given to load me down, to withhold good things from me. We know that the Lord will withhold no good thing for those who walk uprightly. They're not a bummer. God's commandments are there to free me up and to bless me. And so He does that here. These, verse 9, you may eat of all that are in the water. So now He goes to the fish. And you may eat all that have fins and scales. And whatever does not have fins and scales, you may not eat. It is unclean to you. So, again, and they could figure that out. It wasn't real difficult. Does it have fins and scales? So the dolphin is saved for those of you that love dolphins, Can't eat those. You may eat of all that is in the water. Oh, excuse me, I already read that. Verse 11, and all the birds you may eat, clean birds you may eat, but these you shall not eat. The eagle, that's cool with me. The vulture, thank you. The buzzard, okay. That makes sense to me. I don't know about you. The red kite, I don't know if that's a kite a kid flies. No. The falcon, the kite after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich. Now, I will say ostrich is good, and I'm glad I'm not under the law. After its kind. The ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull. Seagulls, I see them at the dump. I'm glad I don't have to eat them. The hawk after its kind, the little owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw,
the carrier vulture. Well, that's good. The fish owl, the stork, the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe. Well, that's cool with me. And the bat. That's good. I'm good with this list. Ostrich was the only one that caught my mind, but I guess I could give it up. Also, every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. I think we're good at this. Insects and stuff that fly. Now, there is a little thing on this. You know, you think of that. You think of John the Baptist, right? Locusts and wild honey. But in Leviticus, it tells us those that don't have jointed legs. And so then it lists the locusts and things. So if you guys really want some locusts, you're good. You know, interesting, it said ox earlier in verse 4. We were in Nairobi, Kenya, and they have the famous carnivore there. I think it speaks for itself. Carnivore speaks, you know, of where we get the word carnal, which really just means flesh or meat. So I'm a meat eater, okay? And, you know, they had ox heart. And, you know, you got to know me. I just got to try everything. It's just in my DNA. So we had some ox heart. And it wasn't bad. I think even Chris Bohan tried some ox heart and some other parts of the ox that I won't mention. But it was good stuff. And good. If I was an Israelite, I could eat it. You may eat all the clean birds. Verse 21, you shall not eat anything that dies of itself. So the list, you know, I love this. God cares about their diet. You know, and I think God cares somewhat about our diets. And I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of dieting today and there's a lot of all that stuff. But just eating healthy and right, I think, is godly. It's of the Lord. He would have us do that. Obviously, he had the children of Israel do that. You shall not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates, though. It's cool. And he may eat of it. Or you might sell it to a foreigner. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. So, you know, hey, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, an animal that dies. There it is. Again, they're, you know, farmers and whatnot and, you know, shepherds and everything. And there's, you know, dead, I don't want to gross you guys. I got all kinds of stories about dead animals from my mom's house. I mean, you know, goats. And anyways, you know, there they are bloated and sitting out in the sun. And, you know, it's like, oh, that's cool. But to the alien, he can eat it, but you can't. Now, again, what's God doing here? You're different. In fact, the foreigner, you can sell it to him, you know. Now, really, God isn't just saying it like that.